This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Jones and Keefe.
My understanding is they are open to trading the number one overall pick, which if that is true, they're going to get offers. It is a year where, first of all, it doesn't feel like there's right now or there's going to be a consensus on the quarterback. Some people really like him. Some people like him in a certain system. Some people not as much. Because it's all over the map, you're going to get teams who really, really want to trade up, and other teams are like, I hope everyone trades up so I can get a great pass rusher or a great corner slash receiver or whatever it ends up being. We also don't know the Tennessee Titans, who also do need a quarterback. What do they think of the top guys? Is Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders someone they believe to be their franchise quarterback? If it is, then there's no point in having this conversation.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Pats offseason. I am ready for the Pats offseason. Of course, it's been about a solid month or so
they've been
involved in the offseason. But now we can really focus our attention onto the Pats offseason.
I feel like that's maybe the better way to say it.
Yeah.
It's
here.
Getting time to start making some decisions and getting time to really, line up what the options are for the Patriots. And what I think is important is who's in charge and your trust level in whether or not the Patriots are going to get it right.
Now more of Jones and Keefe.
Go nowhere.
More of Jones.
More.
Just in case
about
that wasn't.
About 4 hours more.
If that wasn't enough Jones and Keefe for you, there is more. We're promising more. Although that's always a dangerous promise.
I thought that was breaking news at first. And I was like, what
the hell?
I was shocked too. I didn't click that button.
I was like, I haven't even logged into anything yet. What was going on?
Let's go to the trade desk with our own Billy Lanny. Billy. I am ready to go. They have their work cut out for them because last year we thought was going to be a bit of a rebuild year.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was worse.
Well,
it was worse.
The record was the same. It should have been a rebuild year.
Record was the same. You're actually picking lower in the draft this year than you were the year before. So I guess technically you were better as it relates to the league.
That's a good point.
But no, you won 4 games in consecutive years. And I guess going into this offseason, you are in a much better shape than you were the previous offseason because you at least have 2 players that you like, and they play premium positions. So, like, all right, that's better than where you were a year ago. Last year at this time, we were all arguing over what you do with the number 3 pick, and they seemingly got that right. And so now it's going to be arguing about all their other picks and all their other free agents and trades and all that other stuff.
So we'll talk Patriots offseason all day long. We'll get to other stuff as well. Quarterbacks in the AFC East, Aaron Rodgers on the move, not going to be back with the Jets. Where does Drake May slot in the division? We'll get to the Celtics last night as well. Plus more thoughts on some wide receiver options for the Patriots. We talked some Deebo Samuel yesterday. More smoke around Cooper Kupp. So we'll get into that with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. That's your phone and your text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can chat there as well. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. But I thought Adam Schefter had an interesting item today. The top five most interesting teams.
I like a top five.
In the NFL. It's a good list.
I do like that.
I didn't realize Schefter really even still wrote.
No.
But he did today.
Man.
He has the Patriots fourth on the list, trailing the Bengals, Browns, and Saints. Jets were also on the list. He says, making the Patriots coaching job more appealing to Mike Vrabel was the fact the team has a league-high $110 million in salary cap space this offseason. New England will have the financial liberty to upgrade its roster however it sees fit, whether it's having the chance to pay T. Higgins $30 million a year or upgrading an offensive line that will be addressed. They also have the number four pick, and they'll be in position to help Drake May. New England is positioned to set up its franchise for years to come. The decisions the Patriots make this offseason will help determine how successful they'll be. So the cap space, the draft pick, we've talked a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with the way he phrased that. You have a chance to set up your position or your franchise's position for years to come with free agency, the draft pick, new era with Mike Vrabel and Drake May. So do you trust the Patriots to get it right in a vacuum? And then drill down on that. Who is making the decisions? Because last year we didn't really know. Is it Wolf? Is it Mayo? Is it the Crafts getting their football team back? And it was a disaster. For 20 years, we never had that question. For better or worse, you knew who was making the calls. Maybe Bill had some financial restraints when it came to free agency. But largely for 20 years, you knew it was Bill Belichick. Last year, the first year without Bill, it went poorly. We had no idea who was pulling the strings. I still don't really think we have a good idea on who was really in charge. Although if I had to guess, it was ownership getting their football team back. So do you trust them to get these decisions right, Keith? And who do you think's actually in charge of the football team?
Well, I think it's Mike Vrabel. You know, Tommy Kern is going to join us at high noon today. He told us, you know, weeks ago it's going to be Mike Vrabel. That was sort of my assumption when he took the job. Like, I don't think after what happened to him in Tennessee, he was going to come in here and then let Elliott Wolf make all the decisions. I think he's okay working with Elliott Wolf, hence why Wolf is still here. But I think this is going to be a Vrabel thing. And it's hard to know if I have faith in it. Like, I like it better than Elliott Wolf, but it wasn't his job in Tennessee, right? And so the hits and the misses there in Tennessee, I don't think really go on his track record, right? So, like, one thing we know famously is that he did not want to trade A.J. Brown. So that's one thing that we know the GM there, John Robinson, got wrong and he got right. As far as all of their other moves, I don't think we really know. I mean, Mike Vrabel has a ton of football experience. So if he's the one that's sort of breaking the ties and making the final decisions, I do feel better about that. But that's not like, you know, in comes like Howie Roseman and like you have this right. Long track record of hits.
So I do like the idea of Vrabel being in charge and changing things and coming in and making his impact. I want to believe that's the case. But I'm still skeptical until we see some tangible evidence. I think you see a lot of his coaching staff. Those guys have connections to Vrabel. But then you still have the weird fit with Josh McDaniels that makes me question who's really pulling the strings and who's in charge and who's making the calls. But okay, let's say it's Vrabel. Let's say Kraft, a year ago after trying to get his football team back, takes a step back and says, okay, we're going to delegate more now that Mike Vrabel's here. It's not a first-time coach in Gerard Mayo. It's not a guy who had never been a coordinator and probably wasn't ready for the job. He doesn't need the same level of hand-holding. Of course, we're going to be involved in free agency decisions and budget decisions and, you know, big-ticket items like that. But we're going to take a step back and we're going to leave it to Vrabel. What do you think is the more important thing to Vrabel? Is it the draft? Is it free agency? I mean, they're all very important Patriots. Yeah. They're all significant. But what do you think is the more important aspect for this organization getting right?
So I think they both are. I think free agency is more important in the immediate turnaround. I think the draft is more important in the long term. Like, how good is your franchise going to be? You know, if you have like a 2021 style free agency where you spend a lot of money, it's happened where teams have been able to improve by 3, 4, 5 wins, go from out of the playoffs to in the playoffs. I think you can do that right away. Like, if you get T. Higgins and you get a couple guys like that, you can do it that way. But then you can also fall off if you miss on all the drafts. Like, you have to hit on the draft to have long-term success. So the Philadelphia Eagles just won the Super Bowl. You look at their last five drafts, and it includes guys like their quarterback, some of their starting offensive linemen, two of their starting cornerbacks, their best player on defense, Jalen Carter. Like, all that was all in the last five drafts for them. So that's not even trades for A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley in free agency. Like, all of it comes together and is important, but I think if you're looking for the team to have an immediate change in, like, four wins to eight wins, that might come more on free agency. But if this team is going to be a consistent contender, you need to start piling up drafts.
Yeah, so I'm into the immediate thing, though. Like, how do you turn it around and become a reputable team next year? You could do it with a lights-out draft. The Eagles just had another awesome draft, to your point.
Yeah.
So you can do that. The Commanders had a really good draft where they turned it around basically in an offseason. They spackled it together with some moves and free agency. So there is a blend here. But getting free agency right and getting real NFL caliber talent in here right away, not just rookies feeling their way through it where they might need some room to grow, you have to nail free agency. You have to. And so to me, that's the more important of the two. Not to say the number four pick isn't important.
The Eagles got an all-pro linebacker and the offensive player of the year in free agency. So as much as the, hey, there's not a lot of good players in free agency, it's like, well, you got to find them.
I mean,
there's some guys out there.
The Patriots, still two of their better players. They traded Judon last year. But for like 3 or 4 years, two of the best players on the team were Hunter Henry and Matthew Judon. Those were free agent pickups.
Right.
So I don't want to hear you can't get guys in free agency. And for the long-term health of the franchise, you're right. Got to hit the draft pick. The number four player, no matter who it is, should be impactful. But knocking it out of the park in free agency to me is important. So do you trust the Patriots to get these decisions right? Schefter had the Patriots top five most interesting team this offseason in the NFL, ahead of the Jets, behind the Bengals, Browns, and Saints. Who's in charge? What's most important? How do they get it right? And do you trust them to get it right? You can jump in at 617-779-7937. Field Yates had a mock draft today.
Oh,
I want to
mock draft season.
Throw this exercise out there. Uh-huh. Yes, mock draft season, SZN, for sure. He has Hunter 1, Abdul Carter 2.
Wow.
Cam Ward 3. Which I think for the Patriots represents a bit of a nightmare scenario.
I don't like this scenario.
Okay.
Unless there's some team clamoring to trade for Shador, that's your best case.
And this goes back to who do you trust and who's in charge? Like, is Kraft going to have to make this call? Is Rabel making this call? Is it Elliott Wolf? Is it Ryan Cowden? Is it some combination thereof? Like, let's say a nightmare scenario like that presents itself. And now you got to sit there and do what Field Yates did, which is take the offensive lineman, Will Campbell.
Mm.
You can try
best hoss available.
Best hoss available for sure. You can try to raffle off the pick to the highest bidder and hope somebody comes up the board for Shedeur Sanders, who would be available there.
The talk from like a month ago about Shedeur Sanders and his dad like manipulating where he goes, that's kind of quieted down.
Why?
Or do you think it's going to pop up closer to the draft?
Well, it could. I just think with Deion staying in college, I think it's quieted down a bit because they don't appear to be a package deal.
But he was also even saying that, I think, about Hunter. Like, at one point, he was just like, you know, and Deion says a lot of things, obviously, but I didn't know we've seen it before between John Elway and Eli Manning. We've seen the top player in the draft get, you know, manipulated, although he may not be the number one pick. You have a lot more say when you are the number one pick like Eli and Elway
were. No, it's true. So
if he falls in the draft, then maybe you can't be like, hey, I want him to go here. It's like, well, too bad.
Yeah, and you hope the Patriots are on that list. He's going to dictate it. So you could raffle off the pick for Shedeur Sanders, or you could take a player like Mason Graham or Will Johnson. There's a lot of things you could do. I think that scenario does underscore the idea of moving the fourth pick.
Yep.
Because if that's how it's going to play out, Hunter, Carter are gone. It's not that you won't get a good player at four, but do you move the fourth overall pick for Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, you know, some of these names we've talked through?
Yeah.
Lower on the list is Max Crosby. Do you move up in the draft? Like, I'm starting to warm up to that idea. Initially, I said, well, why don't you move back and collect assets? You need everything. You have the quarterback. This is probably the year to move back. The more I think about it, if it's a poor draft and a weak draft, shouldn't you be trying to really turn that fourth pick into something else? Whether it's moving up for a player you really like, the premium player in the draft if you feel that there's one, or trade it for an established premium player. I'm starting to warm to that the closer and closer we get to the offseason.
Yeah, because
really
the draft doesn't look like it's that strong. So to me, I would probably prioritize it Hunter, Carter, trade for Myles Garrett, over trading down and getting more picks. He's like, all right, yeah, you have more picks, but in not
a weaker
great draft.
Right.
But so
unless you're kicking them to next year And then in which case
how slow's
the rebuild, though?
That's a tough sell.
I don't want to trade down and get a future one and make myself weaker in the meantime. Like, I don't know that I want to do that if I'm trying to hit the ground running.
Yeah, no, that's tough. The idea of trading down isn't great, but the idea of sticking at four if Carter and Hunter are already gone. So that's where there's a real clear drop-off. So unless you do get a haul, maybe it's still possible that there is a team out there that would trade a haul for Shedeur Sanders. Then I guess you do that. And then that would include a pick this year and a pick next year. So at least that way you have sort of both worlds, right? So let's say you walked away with Will Campbell and a first-round pick for next year. All right, I get that's not a bad scenario because you have so many needs. We were talking about this yesterday, looking at the blueprint that the Eagles laid out. And you're like, well, you need an all-pro linebacker. You need the biggest offensive line in the history of football. You need two stud receivers. You need a good quarterback. You need a good running back, like the whole thing. So you really can't go wrong. They need so many. That's why I don't like the idea of trading up because you're going to have to sacrifice at least another pick from this year and next year probably. And you probably need as many throws at it as you can get.
617-779-7937. Draft, free agency, they're both important. What do the Patriots need to get right? Or what do they need to get more right when it comes to this offseason? Who's in charge of the Patriots offseason? And how much do you trust that person, whether it's Kraft, Vrabel, whomever, to get that done? Again, 617-779-7937. You know what's going on that I didn't realize?
What's that, Four Nations?
No, I knew that was
tomorrow.
I very much knew that was here. Make sure you're tuned in to WEEI Afternoons. They can ask Razor about it. You're not going to want to miss that.
Oh, yeah. You see, he was chirping Kendrick Lamar. Very controversial.
I did not see that.
Razor was.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Dipping a toe. Him and Andy Hart are like-minded on that.
Yeah, they're going to be like Spider-Man when they talk on Thursday.
No, I knew that pitchers and catchers were about to report. I didn't realize they're doing the little picnic table talk right now.
Oh, picnic table talk today?
I think I see Breslow talking right now. Am I mistaken?
Nice.
You think we get John Henry?
No.
John Henry does the little picnic table talk?
I don't think so.
Getting pooped on by pigeons and things like that? You think he gets that?
I don't think it's happening. Bradford's already got to be down there, right?
Oh, I'm sure Rob Bradford, who, by the way, will be joining the show on Thursday.
Nice. A new spot opened up for him.
Yeah, there was
11:20 on Thursday.
There was a vacancy in the guest schedule, so we'll talk to Bradford on Thursday. We'll get his reaction, I guess, to Breslow speaking right now. What do you think he's saying, Craig Breslow? We're still in on all these free agents. There's a lot of good talent out there.
Something along
we're
the lines.
We're still active.
Of
we like what we did.
Not giving up future wins for present wins.
Something like that.
I forget.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going great.
I bet it's a lot of that going on right now. I wouldn't hold my breath and expect to hear from John Henry, but I'd be pleasantly surprised if we heard anything out of John Henry.
Nope.
Warner?
It's going to be a lot of Garrett Crochet's a hoss.
It's going to be
a lot of that. Which is true.
It is true.
You didn't get the people distracted. Like, you didn't spend any real money. It's like, no. But Garrett Crochet. I'm like, yeah, Garrett Crochet. All right. You won't be back over. There he is. Crochet's exciting.
Former Hoss of the Week.
Former Hoss of the Week. One-time Hoss of the Week.
I was just going to say, if we had a two-time winner yet, we haven't.
No.
New show doc. Let's get on a new show doc for
Hoss
that.
Of the
Week. We're tracking random baseball players and Hosses of the Week. Let's make sure we don't hand out a second one before anointing somebody a two-time winner.
Cora's talking today at 10:45.
Alex Cora talking today.
The manager. The skip.
Well, he actually might say something.
Yeah, he might.
Breslow.
Is Rafael Devers going to stamp his feet like he did last year about they need to add to the team, or is he kind of giving up on that?
Well, if you add to the team, he's probably going to be a full-time DH. He doesn't want to do that.
I brought my glove, guys. He no longer wants to add to the team.
So we got that going on. A little picnic table talk down in Fort Myers, was not on my radar. We'll get you all our Patriots thoughts coming up as well. The receiver position, obviously, very important. The fit for the Josh McDaniels offense. And who brought Josh McDaniels back? We have new answers on that, which I think is instructive about who's pulling the strings here in New England. We'll get to it right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It's back-to-back wins for the Celtics after last night's 103-85 victory over the Heat in Miami. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 33 points, and Al Horford had a double-double with 16 points and 10 rebounds. Up next, the Seas will host the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow night. Red Sox pitchers and catchers will officially report to Fort Myers tomorrow. Several players, including Rafael Devers, Masataka Yoshida, Brian Bello, and Garrett Crochet, arrived last week to begin workouts. Boston University got the 4-1 upset win over number one ranked Boston College Eagles in the Beanpot Championship last night. This is BU's 32nd Beanpot title. And tonight on WEEI AM 850, the UConn Huskies take on the number 24 ranked Creighton Blue Jays. Tip-off's at 9 o'clock with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 8:45. With a 98% customer satisfaction rating and thousands of five-star reviews, the choice is clear. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
I've changed my mind on Cooper Kupp. I heard Andrew Whitworth talked about Cooper Kupp, about how smart he is, about how he's going to be a coach. He thinks of the game in a different way and would, you know, basically like suggest things in terms of like, you know, how to change blocking assignments and, you know, certainly routes, and how he basically, you know, he runs the receivers room. He's the one that, you know, taught Puka Nacua like everything that he knows about that offense and how he's become so good so quickly. Like, when I heard all that stuff, I was like, how do the Patriots not bring in a guy like that?
I was listening to Bedard on Cooper Kupp. I mean, I thought I liked Cooper Kupp. I mean, are those the reasons to sign Cooper Kupp? He taught Puka Nacua everything he knows. Like, so he can't play anymore, and he's hurt all the time, so yeah, he's just teaching other receivers in the room?
Listen, I'm not trying to hire him as assistant coach or wideouts coach or anything like that. I think he can still play. Everyone's like, he's done. He's not done. He's just, over the last 3 years, gotten hurt a lot. So when he's out there, he's not like a shell of himself. Right? There's sort of like a difference. So when Peyton Manning was playing at the end of his career, he was done.
Yeah, he was weekend at Bernie's style,
yes,
winning a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski, throughout his career, when he was out there, he was effective. And then he just wasn't out there. Like, right? He was hurt, or he was playing and he was kicking ass. I feel like that's the same thing with Cooper Kupp. He's good when he's out there. The biggest knock on him, though, is he just hasn't been out there enough over the last 3 years. So I'm not bringing him in here as this like old mentor. Like, I think he can still play a little bit.
Right, and I acknowledge the room can use that. Like, the Patriots wide receiver room absolutely can use that. They didn't have it last year. People hated the wide receiver coach. Yeah. All the receivers were mouthing off and thinking they were much better than they were. So the room can use that. But that is a supplemental, secondary idea to bringing in a talented player. And you hope they have some of that in their game as well. Not because they can talk shop with Josh McDaniels and handhold the younger receivers in the room. That is not why I'm bringing in Cooper Kupp.
Let me ask you real quick. Cooper Kupp last year played in 12 games, which actually seems high. As somebody who had him in fantasy, maybe he got hurt early in a couple
like
of games.
Felt like he wasn't out there that many times.
12 games definitely seems high, and had a terrible year, right? That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
He had more catches than any Patriot. He had more yards than any Patriot.
Well,
he had more touchdowns than any Patriot.
Don't compare him to Patriots.
I probably
had more in the one game against the Patriots than most of those guys had this year.
He had more catches, yards, and touchdowns than all those guys.
He'd definitely be their best receiver.
He had as many touchdowns as... Or no, he had more touchdowns, catches... No, wait, let me say it again. He had the same number as the Patriots' top two receivers combined.
Yeah, that all sounds
right.
And
yet he had a terrible year.
That all sounds right to me.
So here's the thing with Cooper Kupp, though, is you can't add him to this group and then just say, we're
good.
All set.
Yeah.
We're good here. I think he'd be a tremendous upgrade. And especially if he was your number two. Like, at this stage of his career, he's your number two, meaning you're not relying on him as much. He's also probably not going to get all the coverage in the world that you might normally get if you just plucked him down and put him next to Kayshon Booty and Pop Douglas. I would take him in a hot second, though, but not just because he's this old, wise guy. I think he's still got some game left.
I asked you this yesterday. I want your answer again. Mm-hmm. Debo or Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp.
Why?
I think both have injury concerns. I think Cooper Kupp would be a better fit on the team. I don't think he's going to have any kind of complaints if Drake May doesn't get him the ball when he needs the ball right away, or his usage. Is he running the ball too much? Is he not doing this too much? They both have a lot of wear and tear, right? So it's not just a Cooper Kupp thing. But I think Cooper Kupp, even though we're just kind of clowning on what Bedard was saying, I think he might be able to get more out of the young guys that are in the room right now than, say, Debo could.
So if it wasn't Josh McDaniels and the offense, I think my answer would be Debo. But once you knew McDaniels was here, and it was not my pick, it's not who I wanted, it might not have been Vrabel's pick, oh, by the way, which we'll get to. But knowing that he's the play caller, I think Kupp is a good fit for how this offense has tended to run under Josh McDaniels. So I think I'm now on the Kupp side of that, but Debo's 2 years younger. He does have an injury history, but he played 15 games last year.
Yeah, that's surprising.
And so he's been hurt, and I think sometimes he plays through injuries, but then he's affected on the field, and you're getting a guy who, as you said, a shell of themselves. So they're out there, they're taking snaps, but they're mostly a decoy. I think they've done that a lot in his career.
How are they going to use Debo, to your point, too? Like, what would they get the most out of him?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Like, does Josh McDaniels, is he so creative where he's going to line up Debo in the backfield and do this and do that? No, doesn't feel that way. I feel like that's a Shanahan-McVay thing, not a McDaniels thing. But can he get something out of Cooper Kupp in the slot? Yeah, I think he can. So that's my answer on that. Chad Graff caught up with Robert Kraft at the Super Bowl. Caught up with him. This guy seems to have real good lines into ownership.
But my goodness.
The only person that I saw that talked to Robert Kraft in New Orleans, at least out of the local beat writers, is Chad Graff, who's had some good intel on Patriots ownership in the past. It's interesting. They just bumped into each other. Bourbon Street. Grabbing a hurricane, I
never know. Oh, that sounds good.
When we interviewed Mike and we asked him who he might be interested in bringing on, without a pause, his first answer was to bring Josh McDaniels because he thought it would be something very special for Drake. Their experience and chemistry together is very positive. I guess that means McDaniels and Vrabel. I don't think they have much experience in chemistry together.
No.
McDaniels was a coach on offense when Vrabel was a player. They've never been on the same coaching staff.
Yeah.
I think that was a good development. From every way you look at it, I think it's a win-win. It was his decision, meaning Vrabel. Josh is very excited. I hope we get the fruits of the potential positives out of that. He has a pretty good history of developing and dealing with good quarterbacks and developing an offense that can really produce.
Although McDaniels technically was a defensive assistant for the first couple of years.
Oh, this is true.
So he had probably a little bit more interaction with Vrabel, but not necessarily a ton, but whatever. Just,
and he was also probably mostly grabbing coffees at that stage.
But literally picking him up at the airport. Like he told that story.
Fair point. Yeah. When Vrabel signed as a free agent with New England in 2001, McDaniels picked him up at the airport.
20 years ago.
Do you buy Robert Kraft when he says, when we talked to Mike Vrabel, the first guy he wanted to hire was Josh McDaniels?
So I think it kind of confirms that is not the case. So how I read that is, Robert Kraft's first choice was Josh McDaniels. I don't know if he necessarily forced it on him, but he probably wanted to see what Mike Vrabel thought about it. I'm sure he leaned pretty heavily towards, I think this would be great. I know this guy could get us back to where we need to be. We've really kind of fudged it up over the last few years. Ever since he left, actually, the offense has been a disaster. So I highly, highly, highly recommend him, would be my guess.
Yeah.
And Vrabel probably looked at the list. Guys like Tommy Rees was one of his old guys.
He knew Tommy Rees was staying in Cleveland.
Yeah, and he's like, who else was he really going to get? Now, he did get Thomas Brown to be, on the staff, so maybe that's who he kind of likes. But,
well, his guy Todd Downing's back. He was available.
Yeah. So a lot of people had started to get on this. I think some of the local guys, some of the national guys started to sort of be like, yeah, this one doesn't really fit in with all the other hires. And I think Robert Kraft kind of heard that noise and was like, no, he picked him. And it's like, I don't think he did.
So Kraft is now on record saying it was Vrabel's first choice, which I'm with you, I don't buy.
So that's a little too much.
And so to me, this is the smoking gun. If you don't buy it, and neither of us do, perhaps you disagree, you can jump in, 617-779-7937. This is part of why it doesn't pass the smell test for me, the smoking gun, if you will. When people say, well, Vrabel's running everything, you feel that way. I still see things like this on the coaching staff, and I go, if Vrabel were really running things, then he would have his own offensive coordinator, and he doesn't. And so that still gives me pause about free agency and what they're going to do with the fourth pick, although I imagine with a quarterback, ownership will be less hands-on with the last year number three pick, this year the number four pick.
Yeah.
I think they were very hands-on with that pick last year. And that's just a guess. I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about a franchise quarterback, ownership's going to be involved. When you're talking about a D-lineman or an O-lineman or even an edge rusher like Abdul Carter, I don't think they're going to be as involved. But answers like that still make me skeptical about whose team it is and who's running things.
Yeah, I think that's a weird one to me why he was – because they basically let him clear out the entire coaching staff. Our guy Jeremy Springer is back, but that was more of an Elliott Wolf hire anyway. And the special teams was good. So like, you had one spot last year that was decent. So he's already under contract, and so you keep him. They kept Gerard Mayo's brother on the strength and conditioning staff.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Also strange. And Ben McAdoo. And they just flipped him over to defense. Other than that, and we talked about this last week, there's like 20 new names kind of rolling through here. So they allowed Mike Vrabel to get all kinds of new guys, even another guy to be in the front office, not just all guys that are on the sideline with him. And yet Josh McDaniels obviously kind of sticks out. It definitely seems like more of a Robert Kraft hire. But then again, you know, is it crazy to think he wasn't on, could he have been on Vrabel's list at all? Like, when you think maybe not. Like, if he did a 10-person list.
I think the scenario you brought up is right. Vrabel kind of had a couple of guys in mind, but one got snapped up right away. And Robert Kraft, when he met with him, made it clear he wanted to hire McDaniel, so he went along with it.
And you think about this, like, until the very end, Bill Belichick in, what, 20 years had basically three offensive coordinators in 20 years. Mike Vrabel in Tennessee had 4 and 6. I think it was something like that. LaFleur was one and done. Arthur Smith was good. Then he got a job. And then what was it? Downing and...
why am I blanking on who the other one was? But yes, like, he had four, correct.
Meaning, I don't think he's as married to coordinators as maybe some coaches are, or they don't have like this long-term relationship. I think he's like, all right, bring in some other guy.
You know, the whole reason that I've heard people like McDaniels that he's going to be here for a long time. So we'll see. Who's making the calls? Whose football team is it? Schefter had the Patriots as the top five most interesting team this offseason in the NFL. Do you trust him to get it right? You can jump in on that. Hunter is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Hunter.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Is that a bird call?
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you have, parakeets or something like that? What is that?
Yeah, no, it was an electronic thing. But I wanted to talk about just coming.
I'm sorry.
Are you breaking into some place that has a safe?
No, we're good. It's an alarm thing, but I want to talk about the upcoming draft.
Do it quick before the cops show up.
Yeah, so the Travis Hunter situation, I understand I'm probably on an island out here, but I really despise taking that kid, even in the top 10, if it was up to me.
Uh-huh.
But so I bring up, I think the guy has pure athleticism, and I just think his talent alone isn't going to be enough to suffice in the NFL against these bigger names. He doesn't have the technique and proper whatever from it. So I bring up names like someone like Brian Thomas, who fell all the way to pick 23.
Yeah.
The Travis Hunter is plain and simple not a better receiver than Brian Thomas, so he shouldn't be going 4. And then we bring up our own guys like Christian Gonzalez, who went 17. Travis Hunter is not a better corner than Christian Gonzalez.
Okay, so I think the
club is just like a deterrent? Or can you get right through that? No problem.
I don't. Yeah,
what was happening there?
I don't know.
It's just electronics.
Stuart Gardner Museum removing paintings. There's an odd amount of Travis Hunter hate.
Like, I don't really get it.
We got a text earlier. Might have been the same guy.
Might have been
before he broke into the bank in the North End, the town style.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter's not a top 10 pick.
Like, on what planet are we talking about here?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm not fully believing that Travis Hunter is a receiver first, and so I look at him as...
I legitimately think you bring him in
as a top-flight corner and hope he plays some offense, and that's a bonus. That's how I look at it, but it's okay to take a shutdown corner that
high. All right, let's first start by saying that this draft itself, top to bottom, isn't as strong as other drafts, right? I think just the cornerback is a first-round pick. Just the receiver is probably a first-round pick. The combination, and if you want to get creative, and if you're a team that's willing to maybe even let him play both at times, you know, maybe pick one spot where he plays mainly and then kind of sprinkle him in more than like 3 plays, but less than, 50, and sort of figure that out. I think he's definitely a top five pick in this draft.
I mean, look, after watching the Super Bowl, it's admittedly overreactionary. Shiny object, latest thing. I would look at Abdul Carter over Travis Hunter, but I'd have them 1-2 in this draft.
Good text. Great. The guy breaking into a jewelry store doesn't like Travis Hunter.
Well, look, we're not going to shut down any opinions, Keith.
No.
You know, anybody who wants to call the program,
Oh, here comes the other guy.
Jewel thieves, people like this. we're happy to hear from you.
Just keep the radio on.
We're not going to. We're not going to.
Or the Odyssey app. Maybe the Odyssey app.
Odyssey app might be better for you.
Yep.
If you're, working on a giant heist, that's probably the way to go.
Or do me a favor, when you're stealing cars out there, change the presets. 93.7.
Yeah.
93.7.
Yeah, just leave that in there for the next person, if you don't mind. Yeah, all six of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still standard? You still get six?
It's like newer cars have more? Calling card.
Yeah, it is.
93.7 was set to number one on all these cars.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Damn it.
Yeah. I got six in there.
I got six in mine. Yeah. Well, those are my one presets. Then you get a whole second
thing.
Two. We go over to 12. Really 12. But I never make it to the second one.
No, you don't need to.
I don't need to.
Too much good stuff on 93.7.
I got 93.7 locked in on six
all
different presets.
Yeah.
By the way, Alex Cora, my guy, is talking now on the picnic tables.
Good.
Getting pooped on by the pigeons.
Well,
Craig Breslow did say earlier today he believes the Red Sox, as currently constructed, are a playoff team.
Does he?
So there's that.
So is Vegas.
Yeah. Well, it's
their
true.
Their odds actually point you, they're more likely to make the playoffs than miss.
Maybe that's what he said. He's like, I was on DraftKings and I saw we're a playoff team. So yeah, we're a playoff team.
Yeah, he probably had some real nerdy stat about it too. Something about projected wins.
We'll continue to track what's coming out of Fort Myers.
Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Well, it's kind of the Red Sox credo this year. We'll continue to track what's coming out of spring training. We'll get to the Celtics as well last night. Another road win for them. Why are they so much better on the road?
Nasty.
Why
on the road?
Let's get into that next.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
Here's Tatum, launches over Wiggins, splash! This time Tatum drives, little step back, that's good! Jason Tatum shaking his head! There goes Tatum, after the crossover on Robinson, two more for JT! And one! He's got a chance at a 20-point quarter at the line! Here's Tatum against the rookie Larson, into the lane, creates some space, puts it home! Man, he is fired up today! Back-to-back masterpieces from Jason Tatum. It's another trip to Miami and another win for the Celtics. That's seven in a row in this building. And again, they put the clamps on him.
Man, Jason Tatum in the third quarter. Good luck. Dominant.
That was game seven of the NBA final. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was just a
February game.
Random game in February against what's left of the Miami Heat.
What is that team now? Holy mackerel. Also, here's an important question. You know, I'm very much into uniforms.
Yeah.
Are you in on those Miami Vice uniforms? Yeah, those are sick, right?
Love those uniforms, yeah.
Yeah. When they first came out, I was like, what the
How
heck?
How often do they wear them? My wife asked me this last night.
Decent amount, I feel like.
We were watching the game, and she goes, do they just wear these jerseys now? I go, I don't know. Maybe.
They
kind of phased out the other ones.
It's such a nice blue and pink combo.
Great.
Man.
Yeah.
Celtics.
Miami Vice. Miami Vice, number one comedy.
Then the Celtics, not great. They have their fluorescence. You like those?
I do like those.
Oh, see,
I know we've disagreed on this. I like those Celtics jerseys last night.
But the whole court, it looks nice. And then Bam Adebayo had the bright pink shoes on. I'm like, that guy looks good.
He gets it.
But yeah, Andrew Wiggins and Kyle Anderson's get out of here.
No, not so good.
Yeah,
twitch.tv/BostonWEEI has them. Those things are fire.
That's a nice uniform. That's real nice.
It's phenomenal.
The font, the color, the whole nine.
Now maybe the uniforms are why Scal and Drew Carter were so fired up last night.
They were pumped.
Could be that.
Miami nightlife. Those guys are getting after.
Could be that as well. So look, the Celtics made a big run, actually mostly with Tatum off the floor.
Yeah.
In the second quarter last night, they started to separate from Miami.
No, and then, Tyler Hero, who's actually been having a really good year.
He was
out with a tummy ache.
But in fairness, no Jaylen for the Celtics, no Drew Holiday. And Tatum took over in the third quarter, 20 points in the third quarter. Celtics win again. They're 22-6 on the road. And so Forsberg made this point yesterday at NBC Sports Boston. I think it's an interesting one. I'm not sure I agree with it.
Okay.
But the discrepancy in their road and home splits, and we've talked about this before. You actually brought up, Keith, the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department
brought up
that they're closing in on the most home losses for any team that's won a title.
Yeah.
The Rockets had 16 in 95. No other team that's won a championship lost more than 12 games at home. Celtics have already lost 10.
Hmm.
So I look at that as a bad thing. Forsberg highlighted their road record and says this is evidence that the team can flip the switch and This is evidence that they're bored, and when they want to get up for a game in a hostile environment, they can do it. Is that the more fair way to look at things?
Yeah, I mean, that's a positive spin on it. It just feels like at home, maybe they actually feel like it's a little bit easier than it is. Like, oh, we're at home, we should win. But there's been time and time again where there's been evidence to the contrary. So I think it's very strange. Like, their road record on its own, I'm not surprised by. They're a great team. I would, like, pick them to win just about every night based on, you know, injuries and back-to-backs and things like that. Like, they have a loaded roster. So if you told me, hey, they're 22-6 on the road, I'd be like, yeah. And then in 28 games, they should be, like, 24-4 at home or something like that. That's what I would think.
Right.
But obviously that hasn't been the case. So, I mean, that's one way to look at it, but I don't know. There's still something off about how they've played at home.
I just think, regardless, the evidence is they coast too often. And so maybe it's just home games, and that speaks to the discrepancy. I think it is. And maybe their road record is evidence that they'll get up for it. They'll flip the switch come playoff time. It's still frustrating, but that's probably something you'd start to bank on. This team's going to win their games on the road, and maybe they're just going to go on another tear through the postseason.
So do you not want the one seed?
In
that regard, game seven in Cleveland.
If you're
rather
bad
than
at home, do you not want the probably yes?
Yeah, that's listen. Based on the way things have gone,
and let's game this out. You actually probably don't want the one seed. I'm sorry, the higher seed against New York. Although maybe it doesn't matter.
Nah, I don't think it matters against New
based
York
based on the two games.
But Oklahoma City and Cleveland right now.
You want to be on the road.
Yeah, you'd be on the road for the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals.
Good point. Stay right where you are. You've done everything perfect, Celtics.
Lock it in.
Stay right where you are. Good theory on the text line, 617-779-7937. The jewel thief that called in earlier?
Yeah, the Travis Hunter hater.
Whose name was Hunter. I got very crossed up in the middle of that phone call.
The whole thing stinks.
Wondering if his name was Hunter, talking about Travis Hunter, or if he told them that he wanted to talk about Hunter and they named him Hunter. I was very confused.
Hard to say.
But he says the thief was setting up his alibi. So that makes sense. It probably was a fake name.
Mm-hmm.
Setting up his alibi. I was on the radio. Couldn't have done it.
Yeah, well, what time were those jewels stolen? I was on the radio. That's like, all right, let's pull tape.
Check my cell phone log.
It's like, we hear the alarms going off, and you clearly robbing somebody.
We're on to you, sir.
Then we're going to be called in as witnesses?
Yeah.
Would I have to dress up?
Billy Lanny brought up the wet bandits, or the WEEI bandits is what they are.
EEI bandits.
Although now that's a negative connotation with the station that
that's
I'm not going to stand for.
Leave us out of it.
Let's go to Rob in Swampscott. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Excellent.
Pretty great.
All right. So I have a theory for the Pats where they can basically turn their season around in 1 year.
Okay.
One season.
Yep.
Now that they have Vrabel and Josh McDaniels. And you guys might have talked about it. I really haven't been listening to the radio much. But,
come on. Okay.
Here it is.
No jewel heist for Rob.
Life gets in the way sometimes, and I'm not in my truck as much.
Okay.
So here's what they need to do, and they can't make any bones about it. They have to be decisive.
What's the plan?
It has to be. The plan is this.
Great.
They need to take their first three draft picks, and they have to find the biggest, most cerebral offensive lineman and use your first three draft picks on
them. Best Haas available. Yeah, I agree with it. Best, smartest Haas is available. Okay. I think we've heard from Rob before. Haven't we heard this plan before?
Feels like it.
It's like, guys, I haven't talked
to you in a
while.
Guys, I don't listen to your show anymore, but take the best. The call I had 3 weeks ago is the same
thing. We have gotten that call before,
I thought so. Cerebral lineman? I don't think too many guys are saying that.
Maybe Rob wasn't listening to the other individual who called in. But yeah, I believe we've had that call before. You got to get the most intelligent Haas available. Not just best
Haas. Smart Haas. Check the Wunderlich and the scale and then get him in here. That's all I need. Wunderlich, how much do you weigh? Get him in.
Fixed in one offseason, though. Good. Good to go. No receivers. No, just three smart offensive linemen.
I think I preferred the jewel thief.
617-779-7937. Why are the Celtics better on the road? Is that a red flag? Who's in charge of the Patriots offseason? And do you trust them to do it? And on top of that, Craig Breslow just wrapped up speaking on the picnic tables. I think Cora's talking right now. We'll get you a few Red Sox items, plus the latest on Aaron Rodgers, what it means for the division now that he's on his way out of New York. That's next.